Joshua chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.'" Joshua 1, 10 and 11. There are two simple lessons here that I want to drive home. They're simple, but they're searching and they're very important. They are lessons for believers and for unbelievers. They are warnings, they are instructions, they're encouragements. Joshua has been given the greatest of promises. Several promises, many promises. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. I am with you. I was with Moses. I'll be with you. I will give you the land. Cross the Jordan. They won't be able to stand up to you. You will conquer. It's all yours. Cross the Jordan. Go into the land. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very, very courageous. I am with you. You will have tremendous success. I am with you wherever you go. He could have looked at these promises. Joshua could have looked at these promises and misused them very badly indeed. He could have treated them as a pillow upon which to sleep. And to lie back and say, well, God is sovereign. God will work his purpose out. God is faithful. God has promised. It is ours. He will bring it about in his time. And he could have treated the promises as pillows upon which to sleep. But he did not. Our passage opens with the word so, at least in my version. And I think that's a very telling word here. Do not be discouraged. I am with you. You will have success. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people. In the light of this, he took action. He took steps. He moved. He made decisions. He did not treat the promises as pillows. God had also instructed him to meditate in his word, in his law, the book of the law, night and day. Meditate upon it. Read it, mark it, think about it, learn it, digest it, absorb it, receive it. And Joshua could have said, well, I'm going to be a man of scripture. I'll get into my ivory tower, as it were, and I'll read my scripture, I'll read the law, and I'll meditate, and so on. But no, again, I remind you, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people. He did read the book of the law. He did meditate upon it. He did trust the promises of God, but he also acted. And this is the double lesson I want. We have to believe the promise, but we have to act. We have to do. I'm talking to believers, particularly. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. God works in us his purpose, but it's our responsibility to work it out. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The principle is plain. We have the sovereignty of God on the one hand, and we have our responsibility on the other. So Joshua says to the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan. You will take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you for your own. There's the promise, but there's the duty. You have to get ready. Get the supplies in order. Sharpen your weapons. Get ready. You've got difficulties to face. You've got this Jordan to cross. You've got the people to conquer, the land to conquer. These walled cities have to be broken down, and so on. So there's the promise of God, the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, the power of God. But there's my responsibility. There's my action, my work. The battle is the Lord's. It's a spiritual battle. that the believer has to fight that battle. There are obstacles to face. There are difficulties to be overcome. There are sufferings to go through. And yet God is sovereign. Now, would you like me to reconcile these two? God's sovereignty and my responsibility and your responsibility, human responsibility. Would you like me to reconcile them? Well, I can't. And I don't attempt to reconcile them. I preach both. I'm not a reconciler. I'm not an understander or an explainer. I am, in my feeble way, a preacher. And I'm just talking on these verses. And what do I see here? God's sovereignty and my and yours, believer, our responsibility. There are those, you see, who look at only one side of this. They see God's sovereignty. Oh, they see that the work is all of God. No man can come unto me unless the Father which sent me draw him. Tremendous text. And there's a whole list of texts like that, emphasizing the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the absolute essential nature of that sovereignty. And it all depends and hangs upon the sovereign decree and will and power and purpose of God. And there are some believers, they're called hyper-Calvinists, they look at those promises and from then on they go asleep virtually. They wait. If God wants to bring sinners in to save them, he'll do so. It was said to Carey, remember, when he wanted to go to India, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without you." You see, they look at the promises. They look at God's sovereignty. God is sovereign, and that is all. They have one text, and they should preach it every week. "The elect hath obtained it, the rest were blinded." It's a truth, but it's not the whole truth. There are other believers, though, Arminians of sorts, and they look at all the action, the responsibilities, and they start emphasizing the freedom of the will and what we can do and what we must do. They arrange this, and they coach this, and they train this. They actually prepare sinners and bring sinners to Christ, they think. They use their worldly, psychological methods to impose the gospel upon sinners. They train them in the language and the answers they have to give, and so on. And they arrange campaigns and all the rest of it, whatever they call it, to bring in, by their own actions, sinners to Christ. And they emphasize all this to sinners when they preach it. Both are wrong. Where should we be? In the middle. What do you mean? We emphasize the sovereignty of God. We emphasize with equal weight and power the responsibility of the man. We have our action to do, and we trust in God. We trust in God, and we have our action to do. Believer, this is a word to us. We have God's promises, infinitely more promises than Joshua had. Not about land and conquering, but of eternity and glory, the Spirit with us, power and all the rest of it, and all the work of God. Tremendous promises. We do not treat those as pillows, though. We trust them. We meditate in God's word. We go on looking to the Lord. But we also work. We're men and women of action. We're up and doing. We preach the gospel. We're earnest in it. We plead with men. We do all we can to bring sinners to Christ and to edify the saints and to reform the ecclesia according to God's mind and revealed word. We're men of action, women of action, but men and women of trust in God too. Unbeliever, it's a word for you too. There are some I know who say, "Well, if God hasn't elected me, I won't be saved." There's truth in that. But you won't be damned because you're not elect. You'll be damned, says Jesus, because you have not believed in me. John 3:18-19. Read it and see. You'll be damned because you have not believed, because you have not trusted, because you have not repented and come to the Lord. God is sovereign, yes, but seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Do not delay. Now is the day. Now is the time. Trust Christ now. You see, it's not all God's sovereignty and you have no responsibility, but neither is it in your power to be saved. Oh, I'll come when I like. Seek the Lord while he may be found, I tell you. Call upon him while he is near. If he's speaking to you even through this poor discourse, trust him now. You see, Joshua, he had these promises, but he did his action. He didn't do his action without the promise, but he didn't believe the promise and sit still. The same it is for the believer. We have the promises of God, and we must do our duty. And it's the same for you, unbeliever. God promises you everlasting salvation. Believe him, but now trust the Savior and come to him for it. He warns you everlasting damnation if you will not repent. Do not just sit there cowering under it. Use it by coming to Christ, repenting of your sin, and believing on Jesus, and you will be saved. So Joshua ordered, because he had these promises, because he had the scriptures, so Joshua ordered his people and himself to get about the duty. And still he couched it in the promise, for the Lord your God is giving you this land. Same it is with the gospel. Whatever the Lord is saying to us, believer, today, let us do it. Let us trust him and do it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's the way. Trust and obey. And finally, unbeliever, once again to you I say, God is sovereign, but you are responsible. If you will not repent and believe, you will perish. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Only God can give you the grace, but it's your responsibility to trust him and believe now. I do not explain these things to you, I cannot, but I tell you, with all the love and all the power and earnestness I can, you must repent and believe, and I plead with you. Do so, even now, even as I'm speaking to you. Call upon that name of the Lord, and you will be saved. I promise you. But you must call. Call now. So, Joshua believed, and he acted. May these two lessons, they're only one lesson, really, may they bless us today. And may we all, in the right and proper way, be men who trust, women who trust, and obey.